WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Earlier today, we heard from New York Times reporter David Kirkpatrick about an article he co-wrote in yesterday's New York Times examining the growing wealth and influence of evangelicals, as demonstrated by their presence on Ivy League campuses. Then we heard from the founder of the Christian Union, whose goal is to, quote, bring honor to Jesus Christ at the 8 Ivy League universities. He lives in Princeton. We also met a Princeton University student who's a member of the group. Joining us by phone is Thomas Breidenthal, the Dean of Religious Life and the Chapel at Princeton University. Would you agree with the basic premise of the New York Times article by David Kirkpatrick and Laurie Goodstein that there's a growing evangelical presence on Ivy League campuses?
Yes, I would. I'm not sure whether it's growing or whether it's just more visible. Certainly at Princeton, there has always and historically been a vibrant and vigorous evangelical community, which in many ways goes back to the founding of the university. So from my perspective, I would say that community has gained in confidence and in increasingly gained a public voice, and has entered more and more confidently into the general sort of conversation about religion and politics and morals that's part of our life at the university.
Many evangelicals today are very politically engaged and very oriented toward to evangelizing, to spreading their faith. And I'm wondering how that plays out on the Princeton University campus and how you think it fits in with the multicultural and ecumenical spirit of the campus.
Well, the evangelical chaplains work very closely with this office, the Office of Religious Life, and with the other chaplaincies on campus in a very cooperative manner. And they are very clear that their witness to their own faith needs to go hand in hand with a recognition of the pluralism of our campus and of the freedom of students to embrace or not embrace certain points of view. So in my experience, the evangelical chaplaincies are extremely responsible in the way in which they promote their own events, the way in which they reach out to students. They work closely with the administrators of the undergraduate residential colleges and are well aware of the need to respect student privacy. So I have I actually can only say good things about the way in which the evangelical community at Princeton models a clear, open, public statement of its own goals and its own agenda in a way that really honors a multi-faith community of which they are a part.
Is there any policy on campus about evangelizing on campus? And by that, I don't mean just about speaking of your faith, but rather actively trying to convert somebody to your faith. And I'm not speaking just of evangelical Christians here.
Princeton does not have any explicit prohibition of proselytizing. Its rights, rules, and responsibilities, however, make it very clear that students are to be free from any form of harassment, and also that student privacy is to be respected at all times. So implicitly, any kind of sort of aggressive attempt to convert people is not allowable or permissible here. And I should add that our own recognition policy for campus ministers, for chaplains, is very clear that we expect that campus chaplains will model the kind of respect for pluralism and the kind of commitment to cooperation that we expect of students here.
So how would you say the role of religion on campus has changed?
I've seen a real change over the last few years, primarily in this, that increasingly students feel that they have permission from each other, and I think from faculty and from administrators, to ask religious questions, to bring religion into the classroom, to engage in conversation both in the classroom and in other venues around personal, vocational, moral, and religious questions. I think that that 9/11 had a huge impact on the student body at Princeton and elsewhere, and part of that impact was the a loss of a sense of security on the part of young people, security about their own safety, about their own future, and also a realization that the role of religion in world politics is extremely important, both for good and for ill. I think students themselves are well aware that they will be exercising positions of leadership in the world after they graduate, and are well aware that that fluency in religious matters and an ability to navigate religious difference is a crucial element of being able to forge a society in this country and internationally where differences can be handled peacefully and constructively.
Now, let me ask you, I was recently on a campus. This was not an Ivy League campus. It was a small school, and it wasn't in the Northeast. And it had a large fundamentalist population of students.
Mm-hmm.
And several of the teachers were telling me that students, in a way they hadn't before, were going to the dean to complain if there were references to abortion or violence or aspects of science that they objected to in the curriculum, and that teachers were afraid that the students were reporting them, you know, for teaching things that didn't jive with the students' literal reading of the Bible and the worldview that's based on that. And that also they feel like they were losing the students, that even when the students returned to class after that, that they just were kind of switched off. If you were teaching something in class that didn't agree with their worldview based on a fundamentalist reading of the Bible. And I'm wondering if anything like that has happened at Princeton.
I have heard stories about that happening years ago, but I have not experienced that in the time that I have been here. The whole question of the sort of rating of courses for students by campus ministers has actually come up as a topic of discussion in the United Campus Ministers, and the evangelical chaplains have all said that, you know, they were completely committed to encouraging their students to take anything they wanted to take while they were at Princeton. The reason they were at Princeton was to be able to be nourished intellectually at a great intellectual academic institution. I do teach at Princeton, and I have not in any way experienced any indication from students that there was anything that wasn't okay to talk about. I think you know that the usual. I mean, I was approached about 2 weeks ago by a student who's very involved in the pro-life movement here, who was coming not to complain about anything to do with the curriculum, but to ask if there was some way in which this office could provide the setting for a safe and respectful debate about abortion, which I hope that we will be able to do in the fall. So that's, I think, an indication of the tack that students take here and that chaplains take here, which is that nobody is interested in shutting conversation down. What people are interested in is being able to open conversations up.
Dean Breidenthal, thank you very much for talking with us.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure.
Thomas Breidenthal is the Dean of Religious Life and the Chapel at Princeton University. Earlier, we heard from Matt Bennett, the founder of the Christian Union, a group for Ivy League students, Rachel Blair, a member of the group and a student at Princeton University, and David Kirkpatrick, who co-wrote yesterday's New York Times article about the evangelical movement on Ivy League campuses.